We welcome everyone, the visitors, especially in our midst. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Lord will give you reason to come back again and worship with us as you will see us as your brethren in the Lord. And we pray that everyone that is here today, something will happen to you that will make you love the Lord Jesus Christ more. That will give you reason to serve him more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are on the screen, Shalom Church, to confirm what Pastor was saying about water. A pastor told us to pray a very big bottle of water appear before me. I was watching the big bottle of water. It disappeared. Brother Favor from Ogun State. God bless you. God bless you. Confirmation from everywhere. Amen. We pick our text from Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18 and verse 19.
There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid.
It's the first one I am interested in, that way. The way of an eagle in the air. And we looked at the first part. Let's see if we can conclude it today. The way of an eagle. There is something about the eagle that the Lord wants us to learn from. It is a description using the eagle to let us understand how God brings up his children, his chosen ones, to perfection. When the Bible in Matthew 5:48 says, be ye perfect. As we recap what we spoke last week, it's talking about maturity. Maturity. You should be matured. When you're born again, you're supposed to grow to maturity. That is what Apostle Paul was saying in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read it, the first three verses there.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance.
Let us go unto what?
Perfection.
That is maturity. We should go beyond laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Every time you repent, you are still fornicating, you are still lying, you are still cheating, you are still... That is for babies now. Have faith in God. Have faith. Believe him. That's for babies now. Every time, water baptism. Every time we talk other things, things that only babies, we should go to maturity. We should move beyond these basic things, foundations of faith. And that is part of it. We dig deeper and deeper into the mystery of redemption. But we should also learn how God deals with the children so that we will know how to walk with him. That is the whole purpose of this exhortation. Therefore, the way of an eagle in the air, like I said last week, is a metaphor describing the process of transition from adolescence to adulthood. And so he uses the eagle, like we see Job, we say similarly to that, Job chapter 39 from verse 27 to verse 30.
Does the eagle mount up at thy command?
Listen to the description of the eagle, then you'll understand how we also relate with God.
Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make a nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, uh-huh, and her eyes behold afar off. Uh-huh. Her young ones also suck up blood. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And where the slain are, there is she.
Uh-huh. You see, if you catch this description, that is exactly how God deals with us. See where he places the nest, where he keeps the children that are born again, in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, far untouchable. And that is the position of Christians. When you are born again, all of us that had a real experience, you know, before you pray, answer don't come. Before you pray, answer don't come. Eh? Fellowship is sweet, excites you. No problem. You are sick, cry, don't go. You sleep like this, angel, they come. Sweet, sweet dreams. No single battle. Sweet, everything, you wake up, man, you can pray, nothing, you become untouchable, untouchable. But after some time, all that experience ceases. And you begin to think that God has abandoned you, or you meet some of these pastors, they say, you have committed sin. No, this is what I want you to understand. He's always there with you. It's a transition period. It's a transition period. Praise the Lord. So he used that eagle metaphorically, like in Exodus chapter 19 from verse 3.
And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the house of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and now I bear you on eagle's wings.
He bear you on eagle's wings.
And brought you unto myself.
And brought you unto myself. He bear you on eagle's wings. He is taking you straight to how the eagle deals with her children. And he went further to describe why he did what he did in the wilderness in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3.
All the commandment which I commanded this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years.
We are reading verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go ahead.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
What did he do?
To humble thee.
To humble the way he did it. All that you went through in the wilderness was to achieve this. To humble you.
And to prove thee.
To prove you.
To know what was in thy heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
And verse 3.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. And
can you see? God even make his children in the wilderness to go hungry. Then they cried unto him. And what happened?
And fed thee with manna.
The manna from above came.
Which thou knewest not.
Neither did thy fathers know where the thing came from.
That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only.
That was the purpose. What was the purpose for all that?
That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only.
But what?
But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
That was all he was teaching them. And that is exactly how the eagle also deals with her younger ones, the children. And so it's described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11 and verse 12, concerning the eagle.
As an eagle steereth up her nest.
As eagle steereth up her nest.
Fluttereth over her young.
Uh-huh.
Spreadeth abroad her wings.
Uh-huh.
Taketh them, beareth them on her wings.
Uh-huh.
So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him.
And I described that verse 11 extensively in the last, the first part of this message. That is exactly how God deals with us. Go and listen to it if you have not heard it. You will think that he wants to finish you, he's training you. You will cry, he'll pick you up again. You will think he has forgotten you. Then God will do something to let you know that he has not forgotten you. But he will not tell you, I am training you. That is the interesting thing about this God.
Amen.
It is people like Apostle Paul, Peter, James, the apostles that understood by revelation and tried to comfort us with these revelations. That this God, Apostle Paul said, he who loved us so much. In fact, this is the way he put it in Romans 8, verse 31 and verse 32.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against
us? Can you see now? Now, the answer, that the assurance that nothing can be against us. What did he say?
He that spared not his own son.
Can you imagine that?
But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all
if
things?
You will need this revelation to see that God will not, he will not allow his children to suffer. It is not his pleasure to see you suffer. But sometimes his silence is to enable you go to the better estate that you were, that you are now. That child, the mother knows, will never be strong if he continue to drink breast milk only after 1 year. No matter how that child cries when it's being weaned, it is still the love of the mother for that child that is preventing the child from receiving that milk and pointing you to another food to eat. Amen. In Africa, it's different from Oyibo. When our doctors, I don't know whether our medical training here is different from medical training abroad. I don't know. When you born a pikin, I know the evidence that he's alive, he must cry. When the child comes, he must cry. If the child doesn't cry, what will happen? Eh? The mother will do what? Don't go and practice that in Europe. The father will hit you for beating the child like that. But we have to beat the child to make the child wake up. Sometimes God will beat us to make us wake up. He wants to hear your voice. And you are not here, you are not talking, you will not pray. He will cause something to happen to you so that you will come and start praying. He loves to hear our voice. He wants to have fellowship with us. He has already told you every Friday, he has already agreed. What we agree here is agree in heaven. What we bind here is abide in heaven. He is here waiting to hear the voice of his children, including those online. I'm talking to you in Lagos. You will not come. He knows how to bring you to vigil. In fact, not only Friday vigil, he knows how to send you to vigil even in your house for 1 week. But why do you wait for that? Because you lack revelation that our God loves fellowship with us. I told you the story of that sheep that the shepherd broke the leg. And the same shepherd again carry and put for his shoulder. And then they treat the leg. So that he can have fellowship with him and learn something. Because he won't come for fellowship and hear the word of God that will build your faith to know how to walk with him. So when they are teaching others, you have no time. You have no time. Let me tell you that is the truth. People who don't pray suffer frustrations. I'm telling you that is the truth. When Satan wants to deal with you, he attacks your prayer life. And it is we cannot continue to live on mercy, 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 mercy. I was meditating on something during the night, early morning hours, on how the extreme God can go, because something ministered to me. There are some of you that you depend on the grace of your husband. I know he's praying for me. You depend on the grace of your wife. She's very prayerful, very, very prayerful. I know she's praying for me. You depend on the grace of your pastor. You have his personal phone number and personal house address. Anytime you call Prophet Joseph, he will enter spirit for you. So because of that, you even send the people money. Do you know? The extent some people go to depend on man. And God does not want to share his glory with anybody. This is the extent he can go. I am telling you, sister, that you are depending on your husband's grace. You know he has grace. I know he's praying for me. You are risking cutting short the life of that man just to force you, his daughter, to now begin to look up to him. He can kill him. He can take him away from this earth. He can do it. And if he doesn't do it, he will cause the husband to do things that will so offend you that you begin to hate him. When you refuse to pray, I need to say this because by virtue of my position as a pastor, I know things. And then God talks to me. I know he does. And I know when I see somebody who prays, I know. And when I see somebody who is walking under God's mercy, I know. When I see somebody who is a borrowed vessel, God is using you, but you are only a borrowed vessel to fulfill God's purpose. It has nothing to do with you. I know. But let me just tell you this. God can also be training you and you will think he has abandoned you. That is the way of the ego. And sometimes he will minister to you little by little that, no, I'm not suffering you. By the dream he gives you, you see yourself in training. You see yourself in a school. Sometimes in primary school. And if not primary school, you see yourself, that means you still have a long way to go. Because you go finish primary school, then you go enter secondary school. Before you go enter university and graduate. So you better learn what he wants you to learn. If not, it will stay long ago. Then when you are crying, okay, they are going to eject me now. Also, sometimes the ejection is for your own good. When your landlord drives you out, nowhere to go, you are pray. Sometimes it's not punishment. Sometimes it's punishment, sometimes it's not punishment. So examine yourself and know why this thing is happening to me. When you are sure you have been playing your part and you are suffering some setbacks, then know that it is working out a purpose for your prayer to be answered. All of a sudden, somebody will just call you. Amen. All of a sudden, somebody will just call you. In the midst where you have nothing to eat, nothing. Hallelujah. And you just drop small, that will just cushion the effect, small. And you say, so you know what they go through. That is the sole way of telling you I am the one doing it. It's very interesting to work with this God. Some of us have experienced these things, we have shared them several times with you. That increases our faith to know that he's aware. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, Apostle Paul made that statement.
There are no temptation taking you.
No trouble you can go through.
But such as is common to man.
It's common. There's no man that has not gone through that. You don't reach Job on.
But God is faithful.
Can you see? He's a faithful God.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Uh-huh.
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
Can you see the assurance? Israel say, when when the Lord turned again the captivity of Israel, say what happened?
We are like them that dream.
There was a time I went through such problems, and then in a dream, I saw myself in an estate that in that dream, I was saying, oh Lord, let this not be dream, oh, let this not be dream, oh. Then when I wake up, I say, yeah, not dream. Then I sleep. Let me go back again. It was God telling you that this will be your end. But the problem, the training continues. And that training, don't allow it to happen again. You have learned your lessons. Amen. It is to perfect you. It is to perfect you. And that is all my emphasis are using this exhortation at this period where things are hard for the sincere children of God. We are alive now. Those who sustain it are those who do wuru-wuru. And we cannot join them to do the wuru-wuru. Where people cannot make it unless they join one cult. Where people cannot make it until our faith, you compromise your Christian faith to be able to survive. Brethren, let our God be our all-sufficiency. Let's depend on Him. But you can only succeed if you walk with Him. Follow His principles. One of the principles is what I am trying to let us understand. Christ is the firstborn, and He is our example. He said, I am the way. So let's see what. Number one, it was announced at baptism, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that was when somebody here, you got born again. But after water baptism, can we see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2?
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit.
Chapter 3, let's read it from verse 17 first. What did he say in chapter 3, verse 17?
So and that we lo, know. A voice from heaven
that
saying,
that is when he came out of the water. What did he say?
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Chapter 4 now. Then, after the water baptism.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Do you study the Bible? If you read, you will ask question. Why will God send him again to be tempted of the devil? It's the same way. It is the process all of us will go through. After you are born again, you are passed from Egypt through the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus. On your way to your promised land, there is a wilderness journey. You better understand this so that you will not be confused and you run back to your shrine that you were delivered from. So I will remember the garlic and the cucumber you were enjoying in your nightclub with your boyfriend and the chugging of the beer and the ogogoro that we used to chug. When I was an unbeliever, and I had everything. Why? Oh, it is the process. It is the process. And after he succeeded and learned, during that period, Jesus was having a fasting life. He was living a life of fasting. If not to check this body, if you don't check it, it will yield when trouble comes. You look left, you look right, nowhere, nothing, jam. You will compromise, say God will understand. But you know we would. You will not understand though. You're only prolonging the period for your temptation because you already have eternal life. The next is now the process of maturing as a child. Angels came at the end and they ministered to him. That is, you pass. That is how it will be for all of us. However, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, after the temptation, Luke added something there.
And when the devil ended all the temptation,
what happened?
He departed from him for a season.
Okay, he didn't depart forever. He departed from Jesus for a season because you think you have succeeded. Amen. He who think he stand, take it lest he fall. watch and pray. He goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He never gives up. Pray without ceasing. He never gives up. When you succeed in this battle, he's planning another one for you. Demon husband, demon wife, they will never go like that. They will continue to come and make claim over you until that witch that is after your life dies. He will never stop his assignment against you. Better know that. As long as he's alive, the battle continues. The only assurance we have is they will not prevail. That is why Christians, don't joke with your prayer life. Don't do it. We keep emphasizing in this place and people don't understand why. It's for your well-being, nothing more. Process of maturing. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, see that statement concerning Jesus.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
You see, he was growing. That is the meaning of that. Every one of us must grow in our spiritual stature. We must grow to maturity. And in Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 5, concerning Jesus, listen to what he said there.
So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou, my son, this day have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Listen very well. Read it up to verse 14.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son.
Though he were a son. Listen very well.
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
He learned obedience by the things he went through.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation.
He became perfect through the things he learned from what he went through.
He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and are to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that won't teach you again.
For those who refuse to grow.
Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
You see?
For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of
mature.
Age. Even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good
now, chapter 6.
And evil.
So you now can now understand verse 1, 2, 3 of chapter 6.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ.
Where we read earlier.
Let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgments. And this will we do if God permits.
And Apostle Paul tried to tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. What did he say there?
But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience.
You know, anytime I read the epistles of Apostle Paul, you see somebody who is so sure of himself. He is so sure of himself that he can say, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, you have learned of my doctrine. You have known my way of life. Samuel said the same thing. When the people were rejecting him and they wanted the king, he said, did I convert you? Did I collect your... Why are you rejecting my ministry and wanting to appoint yourself a king like the world? And God told Samuel, he said, Samuel, don't worry, not be you they reject. It's me they reject. Give them what they want. But tell them this will be the result of their decision. When a man like Apostle Paul will tell you, follow my way, and then Apostle Suleiman says that God is saying you should not listen to Apostle Paul, then you know the spirits that are speaking in the churches. Apostle Paul boasted he's the apostle to the Gentile, and he magnified his office. If it is suffering, he said, I bear on me the marks of Jesus Christ. Don't trouble me. I know what it is. He said he forsook all, including his rights as a minister. He sacrificed his rights. He sacrificed his rights. I asked somebody, well, I was talking with one of the pastors, one of the ministers that was here before. And that is what they are saying in the intermessage circle. That after I used the ministry of William Branham and became popular, that I'm now turning back to attack the ministry. And I told them, what of all of you who are pastors? Why have you not been able to be popular too, like me, with the ministry of William Branham? I say, listen, the difference between me and all of you is that number one, I have a grace you don't have. And secondly, I am more sincere than many of you. The resources that come into the ministry, I use it for the progress of the gospel. You people are using it and building houses. All tithe in your church belong to you. One man will collect all the tithe, almost all of them. That's what they do. The richest man in every intermessage church is always the pastor. Because all the tithe, no account for it. But I'm different. All the finances of this ministry, I put it into the gospel. Why will God not promote me? If you lift him, he will lift you. Praise the Lord. My prayer is that I'll be able to speak like Apostle Paul. And I stood there several times. And I said, let any member of this church for the past 26 years now tell me, I have ever come to beg you and say, I don't get money, I don't get food for a house, I better help me. My mama died. Now this church bury him. The deacons came. I said, if you bury my mama with church money, any other member of this church, if mama die, you must do the same thing. Leave me alone. She's not a church member. Why will you use it? Is this my family business? And I went and buried my mother and I came back. But when there is a need, there's a supply. And I buried my mother without spending shish. Trying to tell you the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. That is the truth. Let any woman in this church, any young girl, since this ministry started, in fact, not only this ministry started, since I gave my life to Christ, tell me, I wink my eye on her. I like this, your breast. Oh. I like your bum bum. Oh. I like this. Oh. I invited you for any ungodly fellowship. See, this ministry started, say it now. And every true minister should be able to stand at the pulpit and say the same thing. Therefore, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, I follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You were reading a scripture.
2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 10.
Yes.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine.
Not only that, I have never, and God is my witness, stand here to do koni and raise offering in this ministry for anything. In fact, you all know that When I found out that when my birthday is coming, some people come together and task themselves, gather money, that they want to celebrate me, I stopped it. And if you never hear, let me tell you now. Don't come together and gather money and say you want to celebrate me. I will not come. If you have a gift for me as your father, come to me personally. And it's not compulsory. That you don't bring does not make you not my sheep. As you get. Some get given heart, some don't get given heart. But your gift now, they live with till now. So anybody will tell you, say, let's give pastor a surprise birthday. Tell her, say, do your own, I'll go do my own. But pastors use that opportunity. You come and see. Come and see. Don't do it here. Praise the Lord. Hey, this man, Malam. It's not Malam. It's not Malam. It's knowledge. It's revelation. It's my attempt to project Jesus Christ. I decrease so that he can increase. Do you see them welcoming me to the pulpit like they welcome Jews? Let's all stand up and honor the only man, the only one, they will train, Olumide will train and train and train and train and train how to introduce me. Then when I'm coming, somebody is carrying my Bible, another one is carrying my phone. Another one is carrying my microphone. Then I stand as if I am in the spirit. And nothing like that. We are brethren. I say we are brethren. And there's a popular pastor. I met at the airport. I was in Abuja yesterday. And as I was entering the lounge to sit down to wait for my flight, he stood up from where he was. And he's a popular pastor. Very popular. Very, very popular. I don't want to mention it. And he came and he called my name, Pastor Moses. I said, yes. And I called his name too. Then he said, oh, sorry, Brother Moses. He said, oh, sorry, Brother Moses. Then I laughed. And he said, we are learning from you. He said, we. He said, we are learning from you. You know, he said, you know, I said, oh, Reverend. Then he said, Brother Moses. I said, Reverend. He said, Brother Moses. I knew what he meant. Because I said, if you love me, call me brother. If you call me Brother Moses, you know. Of course, anyway, praise the Lord. So they are learning. I cannot speak confidently. Read on, brother. Like Apostle Paul. Listen very well.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine.
You know it.
Manner of life.
My manner of life.
Purpose.
My purpose, why I am in the ministry.
Faith.
My faith that I display before you concerning
long suffering. Theology.
My long suffering, patience with all of you that abuse me.
Charity.
When I have power to lock you up. Those who go into the internet abuse me. All of you that trouble me, that disguise as gifted people in the church, and then strike when you are found out you run away. And all the funny things we hear. It's Pastor Olumide, when I share some things with you, say, yeah, Pastor. Ha. He wanted to resign one time. I said, you never start.
That's right.
You never start. Now, small, one heart, small, there they go. Long suffering.
Charity.
Do you know the battle I have gone through in this ministry? You don't know. Then you'll understand my long suffering. If you come close to me, I will share it with you. All manner of slander. All manner of gossip, dirty, wicked, acidic gossip that make people take, if it is true, I'll not go to that church again. And I will hear it, and I'll be looking at them. Long suffering.
What charity.
Charity.
Patience.
Patience.
Persecutions.
Okay, now.
Afflictions.
I don't see that they come demolish this church. For what? Persecutions.
Afflictions.
Afflictions.
Which came unto me at Antioch.
In Ijesha.
At Iconium, at Lystra.
In Lagos.
What persecutions I endure.
Uh-huh.
But out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Out of them all. That is my own testimony also. And not only me, all the Lord knoweth how to deliver his righteous from all his problems. He will. There's the assurance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Romans 5 verse 3, 4 and 5. He said we glory.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations
we,
also.
We don't feel ashamed when we are going through what we are going through. We glory in it.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Because we have this revelation that what we are going through is training us to have patience.
And patience experience.
And when you have patience, then you acquire experience.
And experience hope.
Hope. And the evidence, hallelujah, that is what takes you to maturity. And hope.
Make it not ashamed.
Because you know what I'm going through will achieve.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given
unto
us.
And so in James chapter 1, he therefore advised in verse 2, 3, and 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
What is it to produce?
Patience.
Now, this is his advice.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Submit yourself and let God do what he wants to do with you. Do that patiently. Whatever you are going through, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Weeping may endure for a night, but what happens in the morning? Therefore, Apostle Paul, First Peter chapter 1, from verse 2.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Here is advice.
Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled.
See what we are hoping for.
And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven.
For who?
For you.
For me. Hey.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season,
if need be,
ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Different temptations, but this is his advice.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can never be adopted, be matured, be given full authority and power until you are trained through trials. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. We read it. I just keep reminding you of what we've been emphasizing in this ministry, because this kind of gospel is no longer preached in churches. There is what you are hearing now is compulsory. Whether you know it or not, you will go through it. So it's better you strengthen your faith with this knowledge. Go ahead.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
The tutors and governors are the problems God brings upon you, the trials, the difficulties. Do you know what it means for somebody who had maybe three cars, live in a house of your own, making millions every month, feeding so many number of people. Everybody look up to you. All of a sudden, you wake up one day and everything is gone. Like Job. If that person still remains normal, that is evidence of grace. That person overnight can develop anxiety and depression and commit suicide. And the only reason I'm saying this is so that you will avoid the unnecessary heart palpitations, unnecessary anxiety, unnecessary depression until, because you are not able to catch these revelations, some people live the rest of their lives with drugs to stop hypertension that comes because of problems. Because recently, a brother was duped of millions of naira. And he's telling me, but I prayed before I had this investment. I said, if you pray before you had that investment, you are sure you pray before you had that investment. He said, yes, and I fasted, I prayed. I said, there is another scripture to comfort you. All things work together for good. You better begin to praise God. You better begin to praise God. And he told me after he spoke with me, he said his blood pressure came down. You see the strength of knowledge? All of us will go through it. After water baptism, then he had temptations. Jesus. It was after the temptations. You see the progression? Matthew 4 was, you know, what? Matthew 3 was water baptism. Matthew 4 was temptation. Amen. After water baptism, the Spirit came down and said, this is my son now. Hallelujah. In whom I am well pleased. That is, you receive the Holy Ghost. Wow. Then you will receive the Holy Ghost. So you are going through temptation. Anybody that tells you as a Christian you cannot fall is a lie. The righteous falleth how many times? Okay, it's a lie. And whatever weakness you have is not to make you run from God, it's to make you run to God. Stay with Him, cling to that cross. Stay with Him, study. Why is this happening to me? The answer is in the Bible. It will comfort you. I did not pray for him. I didn't pray. I only told him, the Bible says so. So why are you worried? The Lord give it, the Lord take it. How did you get those millions that were duped? The God that gave it to you, and after you prayed, he still allowed it to be duped. There is a lesson he wants you to learn. And after you've learned the lesson, double that amount will come back to you. That is how our God works. You don't answer me because you don't believe it. But whether you believe it or not, get ready. If you're a seed of God, you will certainly go through it. Then by the time we go to Matthew 17 again, then the adoption. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Then he added what?
Yeah, him.
All authority is in him. Whatever he says, the Father has spoken. Hallelujah. I and my Father are one. Amen. When I made a demonstration some time ago, when I preached the adoption, carnal people did not understand what I was trying to do. And that is why I did not emphasize that practice anymore. Because when you study the Bible and you don't apply it appropriately, then you will fall into this category of people who take only one scripture and run off with it. Will not balance. You know, balance. I can say this openly. I was going to share with you, Olumide. And that is the truth. I say God talks to me. And it was yesterday. And I was not thinking that there's too much load for you as a pastor, Olumide. And I was asking the Lord, we need more pastors. I heard it clearly. He said, how many legs do you have to stand? Okay, that is all he spoke. But I understood after that, that I am standing by two legs, not three legs. This church will stand on the two legs of two pastors. So anybody hoping to be a pastor, we will ordain you for another ministry, not this one. Praise the Lord. Authority. Authority. And by that revelation I had, I knew that God has accepted Olumide as the second pastor of this church. Amen. But among the two legs, one is always stronger than the other. The two of them, one is strong past the other.
Of course.
So don't because you know Bible, pass me. And think that you are stronger. Now me strong pass. Praise the Lord. So it is not wrong if I call him the deputy overseer of this church. That is exactly who he is. Whether I say it or not, by inference, anytime I travel, the church has always been under his charge anyway. Praise the Lord. And so with that authority, when we speak, I was saying it, that I preach that message, adoption, that a stage comes, a period comes in the life of a believer where you no longer pray even in the name of Jesus before something happens. Oh, but the Bible says whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes. But the same Bible says if you say to this mountain, it didn't say if you say in my name, if you say you believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. So there is a stage you reach where you speak and heaven will back it up. But that is after you have undergone all the training and you have passed. You are now adopted. When you speak, heaven backs it up. Because you and the Father become one. Authority. But we are moving there. We will get there. And I brought somebody out. And I said, let me demonstrate it. And I spoke. And the thing came to pass. But that doesn't mean I have reached the level. Now teach as they teach. So God was confirming that what I'm teaching is the truth. Not that I have reached that level. Okay, now. Even Apostle Paul says, it's not as if he has attended. Till I go, we are pressing forward. We are pressing on. Because this heavenly race, when you think you know, something will happen and you will say, I will never start. That makes you guide yourself and keep your heart open to receive from him to move forward unto perfection. That is why these messages we preach and our emphasis that we should study is so important because of the power of knowledge. Proverbs 24 verse 5 makes a statement there concerning knowledge. What knowledge?
A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength.
A man of knowledge increaseth strength. So why it is important to have knowledge? Did Daniel not say in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, that last statement there, but they the people that do know their God
shall be strong
and do what?
Exploit.
And do exploits. Those who know their God. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. What did he say concerning the righteous?
The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
But
the righteous are bold as a lion.
We are bold as a lion. Bold because you have a knowledge. Knowledge is the strength that gives you boldness. Why will I stand and tell the whole world, ask a question? ask me any question because of knowledge. Nothing more. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Knowledge that the whole king didn't have. That the whole trained armies didn't have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why he revealed his ways to Moses. Others, Israelites, only see his acts. Brethren, when he said the just shall live by faith, there is a revelation, because without revelation, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's important, therefore, that we get knowledge of how the strength of a believer is derived, is achieved. This is all the purpose. And I use two examples and we end this teaching. One is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. In addition to the ways of the eagle. Listen very well.
Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard?
Listen,
that,
yes.
That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint.
See?
And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth.
This increase of strength, it doesn't come up. You go through a process. To receive strength, you get knowledge. And the only way you get knowledge is by studying. And by going through experiences. Read on.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary.
Listen to this verse.
And the young men shall utterly fall.
Uh-huh.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Uh-huh.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Uh-huh.
They shall run and not be weary.
Uh-huh.
And they shall walk and not faint.
They will mount up with wings like the eagle. And so he's taking us back to the eagle again. And I say, I actually took a study of it. I wanted to know more about this eagle. But as far as what we're sharing is concerned, there's a peculiarity about the eagle here. Let me share it. Generally, birds naturally lose their feathers. And they renew their feathers that they used to fly through a process that is called molting. Molting. So eagles depend so much on their wings that have feathers. But as they grow through weather, through different conditions, those feathers become weak. They get too old to now sustain them in their flights. And so usually once in a year, the eagle will undergo a process that naturally will cause those old feathers to fall off in that molting process. And then the feathers are replaced with new ones. That is what he's referring to when he said they shall mount up with wings like the eagle, those who wait on the Lord. And it's instructive. Every believer, don't depend on the testimony of yesterday. In the course of our journeys on earth here, we meet different conditions that get our faith wearied. Different experiences that affect us. Every Christian should be sincere enough to look at your spiritual graph. You will see the need to go and renew your strength. And that is why we in this ministry, the beginning of the year, we undertake a 30 days empowerment period to prepare for what is ahead of us in the coming year. From January 2nd to January 31st, we fast till what time?
We have agreed 6 p.m. now, sir.
To 6 p.m. We fast till 6 p.m. We call it empowerment month. That is the process every eagle goes through. If you are going to renew your strength for the new year, then join us in that program. It is a principle for all eagles. If not, you will suffer in the coming year. We need strength. That is the food that the angel had to give Elijah. And that food was food from heaven that was brought to him. He said, eat, for the journey is what? No, the journey is not far. He didn't say far. The journey is great. He said, eat, for the journey is great. From January to December, assignments left and right, satanic influences left and right, economic problem left and right, 419 is increasing, evil is increasing, accidents are increasing because drivers cannot buy brake pad and brake oil. They are managing everything. Cars are seizing brake and knocking people at bus stop. All manner of evil. We need. Hallelujah. We need spiritual strength. We need it. And one other thing about the eagle, why he needs to renew, is oftentimes the eagle knows long before a storm begins in the sky. That is one peculiarity about the eagle. And so it is for the children of God like eagles. Before any problem comes to you, you will see it in a dream. Just as any blessing coming, you will see it. When trouble is going to come, you will see it. Snake bite you. Dog bite you. You don't know that something, a battle has been released against you. They are pursuing you with sticks, pursuing you up and down. Different situations, like eagle, you see it before. Hallelujah. Before it comes, you see it. Thus, the eagle flies, knowing that that storm is coming. The eagle flies to a high plane and waits for the storm's raging and the clouds' turbulence. He's waiting for it. He's waiting for it. That's the purpose of that revelation, to prepare you for it. And that's why we start fasting. And that's why we increase our prayer. Then that eagle flies when he sees the storm coming. He flies into the storm. During this time, every other bird that is not an eagle will go into hiding when they see storm coming. Only the eagle dares to fly into the eye of that storm. We don't run away from trouble. We confront the trouble. And this is the way God showed me. 1990. In that revelation, God took me to Guru Maharaj. I saw everything I knew about that land. I even knew the history of the land he was showing me. Years later, when I was reading something, I got to confirm what I saw. Took me to every place in that place in Ibadan Road there. And the Guru Maharaj was showing me his kingdom. And he was in front of me. He was making demonstration in front. I mean, with sand, with, you know, describing the eagle. Then when he finished, I mean, his kingdom. When he finished, he looked up from me. To me, I mean. And said, now, what do you think about Sat Guru Maharaj? And I closed my eyes with anger. Sat Guru Maharaj is a demon from the pit of hell. And I was going to pronounce something. Then he shouted, shut up! And used his stomach and hit me from the back. And I came out of that revelation. The first question that came to me is, he was in front of me. Why did he go back behind me to hit me? That was when, after some time, I saw the reason. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. The whole armor of God, read it carefully on your own, Every part is covered. Only the back is not covered. Look at that dressing there. Put on the whole armor of God. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. The shield of this armband. Everything is in front. There is no cover for the back. Then I learned that as believers, confront the problem. Don't run away from it. If you turn your back against it, it will fire you. It will get you. Confront it. We have power to bind and to loose. The weapon of our warfare, they are mighty through God. Our strength is in the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers through his blood. Face that situation. Don't run away from it. Face it. Don't run away from church because a church member offended you. Don't run away from Christ because things are not working well. Don't run away from your uncle. Face him in prayers. Face him. Face your problem. That is what the eagle does. And it flies. Other birds will hide. Only the eagle dares flies into the eye of the storm. However, the eagle uses the storm. This is very interesting. As an advantage to mount up to an altitude it ordinarily does not fly. There is a height that an eagle cannot reach there, but that storm will force him to go there. Let me tell you, church, I cannot do dry fasting. If I fast, reach 12 o'clock, I will nearly die. There is a trouble that will come upon you. You're not going to remember food for 2 days. So through that problem, you are able now to discover you can fly higher than you are in. Praise the Lord. All that gyrating oscillation that the storm makes only make it to fly above the storm. So every problem you have is opportunity for your faith to be built up. Oh, glory be to God. Every disappointment is to strengthen you the more. Secondly, so we learned that. Now you know why the Bible says all things work together for good. No matter how bad the situation is. I want to round up with this. In Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31, if I can get this explanation, then I believe, keep and listening to this message, it will help you.
And the remnants that is escaped,
what will happen?
Of the house of Judah,
yes,
shall again take root downward.
We are reading Isaiah 40, I believe. No, sorry.
37, 31.
Isaiah 37 and verse 31. Thank you very much.
And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah,
listen very well,
shall again take root downward.
They will take root. Can a tree stand without root? Answer me.
No, sir.
Can a tree stand without root?
No, sir.
The bigger the tree, the bigger the root. It is the root, the size of the root, that determine the size of the tree. It will take root downwards and what?
And bear fruit upward.
Before you can bear fruit up, you have your root already grown downwards. And the root there is the root of a revelation. The root of the experiences you have gone through roots you, gives you the anchor. It is very easy to say, I am a Christian, but it is not easy to prove that you are a Christian. Very easy. I'm a Christian. But every confession shall be tested. I have the healing gift. If you have the healing gift, you'll be a partaker also of that gift. So don't be sick and go and preach healing. It's a test. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How can a woman that has enjoyed her marriage throughout anything you want, the man complete mumuna, waiting the same way the man do, they do. If they collect his salary, they give her All his ATM, they with him. Every TV says, sit down, you go, sit down. Go, you go, go. How can that woman be a counselor for marriage for women? Except if she's a witch, she will introduce you to her winch. So that you go use the winch. They control the husband like she they control. You can't be a teacher of what you have not experienced. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. There's a need, therefore, for you to have root, anchor. He described it, Jesus himself, in Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. What did he say? Concerning the various
and
soils.
Are they likewise, which are stone on stony ground?
What did he say?
Who, when they have heard the word.
When they have heard this word that we are preaching.
Immediately receive it with gladness.
They will receive it with gladness.
And have no root in themselves.
But they have no root. You see why you must be rooted downwards?
And so endure but for a time.
Uh-huh.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
And verse 20.
And these are they which are sown on good ground,
uh-huh,
such as hear the word,
uh-huh,
and receive it,
uh-huh,
and bring forth fruit.
You see?
Some 30-fold, uh-huh, some 60, uh-huh, and some 100.
The reason is because they have root. The only reason you can bring fruit upwards is because you have root. See the condition of many? Jesus Christ brought it up in John 15, verse 4, 5, and 6.
Abide in me.
That is where the root is.
And I in you.
Uh-huh.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself,
uh-huh,
except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me,
you can do
nothing.
Verse 6.
If a man abide not in me,
if you don't have this root,
is cast forth as a branch,
okay,
and is withered.
Uh-huh.
And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
You, everybody will be looking at you. You say you'll be Christian. No, but this one, when they dress like holy before. Now they sit down, now they drink beer for beer parlor. Now I see now they get boyfriend, girlfriend. Now I see now they do a thing. Now he now, forgiveness, he no grief forgive. Now he now, that is your condition. And let me tell you, natural trees will learn from these storms, like we use the storm for the eagle. We can also learn from these trees. Suddenly, God has trees. Tree in a tree. Christian and Christian. Everybody is carrying Bible. Tree in the forest. See them, tree with leaf, with leaf. Let's know which one are the real Christians. Let's know which one are the real trees in the forest. All of a sudden, from nowhere, one horrible cloud, tornado, hurricane, storm will just build and pass through the forest. There are trees there that are useless trees. But there are trees there that are needed. But there is drought. Without water, the tree will die. And so, the water level has gone down. It is dry season. But there is water down. It's only that the level has reduced. So, and the tap root needs to access that water. Down, down, down. So God will help it to create a way so that he will have a chance to penetrate and go and meet the water. So people are wondering, what is happening? All of a sudden, storm just, see trees are being uprooted. Any tree will not get root, that storm will uproot it to give chance for the root that the storm is raised for. You will see the tree will go like, go like, you'll be wondering, why is this priest like this? It is doing ministry work. And as the ground is shaking, 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 the taproot is seeing space to go inside. The more the thing shake, the deep, the more the road open for him, for him to have access to the water. That is the life of a Christian. The trouble is to force you to discover a promise of God in the Bible that will strengthen you. The trouble we go through, praise the Lord. That's why he says you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So you understand now why he said, remember Lot's wife. When you escape, go forward, don't look backward. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21 and 22, there's an admonishment there.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world,
you see,
through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
And the only reason is because you cannot understand what you are going through now, now that you say you are a Christian, you went to church. Read on.
Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness,
yes,
than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them.
Now verse 22, my emphasis.
But it is
happening. Why did it happen like that?
According to the true proverb.
Why?
The dog is turned to his vomit again. And the soul.
And the pig. So there is a pig.
That was washed. But
that was washed in water baptism, but he did not wash his heart.
To
did
our
not have strength. You go back to your nightclub, your boyfriend, your girlfriend lifestyle. That dirty lifestyle. It's because you did not allow yourself to be trained. You normally go back. He said, such a person, it is impossible to renew them again. It's impossible. That's why he was saying in Hebrews chapter 6, a very popular scripture. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39.
Now, what did he say? The just shall live by his faith.
That is the principle. We are to live by revelation, by faith.
But if any man draw back,
if you draw back,
my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back
unto perdition. We are not, bride of Jesus, sir, we are not of them that draw back to destruction.
But of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Our own kind of faith, we came so that we will be saved from the destruction that is coming upon this world. So we will follow who no road? The Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the way of the eagle. And finally, Apostle Peter prayed this prayer, and Apostle Paul also. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. That is the prayer for all of us.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while.
After you have suffered a while.
Make you perfect.
Oh, yes.
Establish, strengthen, settle you.
And Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Read it
for this
up,
cause,
up to verse 21.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory.
See the prayer of a revelated apostle.
To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
In the inner man.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love.
Grounded in love.
May be able to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Yes.
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
And the church we say,
a
day that wait upon the Lord. Oh, yes. Can we all stand up, church?
Teach me, Lord, to wait down my knees till your own good time you answer my plea. May not to rely wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord.